A lot of you know that I was raised by my stepfather, and there's something special about the fact that he chose me. When he chose my mother, he chose me and my brother. I was 5.5 years old, and he did more than just bring money in from being a truck driver. He wanted to be my daddy, and he was. And I thank God for that. I'm going to talk more about him in a minute, but he wasn't perfect. But guess what? The only perfect father lives in heaven. And I just want to say there's a lot of great fathers sitting right here in this room. And I know you're not perfect, nor am I. And we have the privilege of having half of our kids here this morning. I love you guys. Thank you. And the other half, I hope you watch this online. But there's a lot of good fathers here. We've all made our mistakes. But I just want to salute you if you have kept on trying. If you have kept on keeping on. Amen? Amen. And all of you that are not fathers, or if you want to join me, let's give all our fathers a hand this morning. Amen. Amen. I better pray, get my head together here. Jesus, we love you. And Lord, we're like that child that just sounded off, Lord. We're just children. We're just children in need of a father. And we thank you for being that for us. I pray today, God, that you would imprint our souls with the template from heaven that helps us begin to grow more and more like our Heavenly Father, so that we can be the fathers, the mentors, the spiritual coaches that we need to be in this life. In Jesus' name, open our eyes and ears and heart. Amen. Amen. This is from the Santa Cruz Sentinel. 31-year-old man from Santa Cruz was walking outside town on a date and he happened to cross a rattlesnake. This guy obviously wasn't from Alabama. He hopefully would have known better. But to impress his girlfriend that he was walking with, he decides to pick the snake up. Can you say bad mistake? According to the rescue worker, the snake was mature. It had 10 rattles, which he knew because the victim had time to count every one of them as it hung onto his hand. The unidentified man was admitted to intensive care and is expected to survive. Praise God. Well, you know, according to some dictionaries, impress means to affect strongly or to produce a vivid impression or image, or to mark or stamp. Yeah, all three of those definitions happened that day. I don't know if he impressed his girlfriend, but that snake definitely left a mark and made a difference in his life. I don't want that kind of difference. And really, it doesn't take something nearly so stupid to make an impression. Or as dramatic as picking up a rattlesnake. He made an impression, but as I said, the snake left an imprint and made an impact. I am told that one of the rules of forensic science is that every touch leaves an impression. Every touch leaves an impression. You know, you've seen this, any CSI people here, I mean, you watch, they go into the lab and they're poring over every little thing, every fingerprint, every fragment of hair, every skin cell. I mean, but evidently what fuels forensic science is that anytime a human being touches something, there is some evidence of some sort that can be found and used. And what's true of fingerprints? And evidence at a crime scene is also true of our lives. We all make impressions. We all imprint other people, either by what we do or what we don't do, what we say or what we don't say. We all leave an impression. And hopefully we all make an imprint. The issue is, what kind of imprint will we make and how long will it last? There's a joke about a woman wanting to impress her pastor when he came to visit. She said to her little girl, "Honey, go get the book that mommy loves so much." The little girl was gone for a while, and when she comes back, she had the Sears catalog in her hand. Some of you young people don't even know what the Sears catalog is. That means nothing to you. Sorry, I'm that old. But when I was a kid, you know, we waited on the new Sears catalog to come out. I guess it was in the fall because we wanted to go through there and make our Christmas list from it. This was back before eBay and back before Amazon, okay? And a lot of people didn't have a Sears nearby, which nobody does these days, I don't think. I believe they're out of business. But them and JCPenney, they thrived off of mail order business. Some would say that they aren't interested in making any impression. After all, impressions are rarely accurate. You ever got the wrong impression with the first one? Anybody? You know what I'm talking about? You size somebody up by that initial impression and then discovered later, they're different than I thought. And so if that's so true of impressions, why should we ever be concerned about it? I heard this joke. It said, the man who steps into a cage with a dozen lions impresses everybody but a school bus driver. And I'm pointing to Jerry Sims because he's done that. You know what that's like. But here's the issue. Every one of us are writing something on somebody else's soul. I just want you to look at the person beside you and say, "He's talking about you. He's talking about you." Come on, tell him. He's talking about you. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, whether you're a father or you're not a father, mother, grand, whatever. Every one of us are writing or painting something on another person's soul. As a father, and I'm speaking to dads, I just want you to ask this question today. What do I want to imprint on the souls of my children or my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren? As a believer, you're not a father, okay, but you don't have children. What impression or imprint is my life having on other people around me? Because children, as it said, are like wet cement. Anything that falls on them makes an impression. You know, my wife got me a cool little tool here a while back. It's one of these miracle template things. I think even I can work this. That's what it's for. You know, so it follows the contour of whatever you press it against. And, you know, so it follows every contour. I know it. She thought I was going to use it for something useful. Yeah. But you see, it just follows whatever's pressed against it. Lives are like that. So there's two questions really today, and I only got one of them in my notes, so I'm just telling you, you're going to get two sermons here. One of them is, what has imprinted me, and what am I allowing to imprint me? And the other one is, whatever I'm imprinted with is what I have the capacity to imprint my children or my grandchildren or great-grandchildren or my friends or my neighbors or the other people in this church or the people at work. The man that shot those four people and then killed himself this past week at Mueller, he left an impression. Made an impact, but the issue is what kind. Adults are a little harder to impact than kids, but we're all called to try to imprint people with the image of Christ. You say, it's kind of like working with hardened cement. The Holy Spirit is able to change even the most incorrigible, unchangeable person in our midst. Do we really believe that? I'm waiting for a response. I got a few. We do? That's what we preach. Because the Spirit still changes lives. Amen? According to Larry Stockstill, 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children with behavior disorders are from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth in prisons come from... Such facts of life are why God gave instructions to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy as they were coming out of the desert and about to go into the promised land. God gave them a template. He gave them a template that would mold them so they could mold their children. Let's read together. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall repeat them diligently to your sons and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, when you get up. You shall also tie them as a sign to your hand, and they shall be as frontlets to your forehead. You shall also write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And then a few verses later it says, when your son asks you in the time to come, saying, what do the provisions and the statutes and the judgments mean which the Lord our God commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Amen. Implying he knows how to imprint our lives. And I want to pass it along to you. Man is designed to exercise dominion, to leave a mark, to leave things better than when we found them, and maybe just one person's soul is what he wants you to leave a mark on today. And certainly if you're a father, he wants you to leave a mark on your children. And some of you are sitting here saying, my daddy days are long over. My children are grown. My grandchildren are grown. Some of you, your great-grandchildren are grown. So you say, my job's done. I don't think so. They need to see. They needed an example of what it means to go through middle age. They need an example of what it means to go toward the sunset. They need an example even today. So how can fathers imprint be life-changing on the soul of their child? There's three things that I want to share with you. First one is example. Example. The scripture there says, you shall tie them, talking about the commandments of God, you shall tie them as a sign to your hand, and they shall be as frontlets to your forehead. What I see here is, I know the Jewish religion, they actually do this. They have little boxes with scriptures on it. And they actually, the devout Orthodox Jews actually wrap them around their hands. And they put a little box on their forehead. And it has scriptures inside of it. I don't think, I respect that, but I don't think that's what he was getting at. I think what he was saying, everything your hand does, it should be impacted by the truth of my word and my presence and my power and my love. Everything your hand does, it should be connected to the truth of who I am and how I do things. In other words, your example should be imprinted by my word. Forehead, your attitudes should be imprinted. What I believe he's really saying is that God's words should mold our routines and our responses. It should determine our actions and our attitudes. We have to make the connection for our kids to God's word, a connection between how we act and our attitude. We got to draw the line. We've got to connect the dots. We need to tell our kids, especially in this culture today, this is why we do this. This is why we don't react like they do. This is why we give. This is why we serve. This is why we pray. This is why we worship. Dads, we got to connect the dots. We got to connect the dots. We have to live a life. Here you go. We have to live a life that demonstrates the truth of this book. Do I need this book to explain why I live like I do? I hope you do. I hope the reason you live like you do isn't because of what Oprah said. Amen. Or Dr. Phil. Amen. Or Dr. Oz or whatever doctor you want to throw in there. Our kids are watching and they're imitating. They're imitating what we do. And I'm going to tell you this, people at work are watching too. See, I'm talking to two groups of people here. I'm talking to dads for sure, but I'm talking to every mature believer today. Because you and I are called to be spiritual mentors and disciplers for somebody in our lives. Larry Stockstill said this. He was a pastor of a very large church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Great man, great legacy. He said, a child learns more in 1 hour alongside a father than in years of behavior modification. I carefully watch my father mow grass, fix up a home, get sweaty, and head off to work. I watched him hold his temper and restrain his emotions. I copied his facial expressions and humor. I learned how to handle life, money, and people from a father. So what kind of example should we leave? What kind of example do we want to mold our children? Number one, I'd say they need to see us making courageous decisions. They need to see us making decisions based on our convictions, not on convenience. They need to see that the Word of God molds why we do or don't do things. They need to see us making courageous decisions when nobody's going along with us, when it's hard to make that decision, when it's costly, when it's unpopular. They need to see that our life is grounded on biblical convictions, not on whichever way the wind's blowing this week. Amen. The second thing, well, let me just say something. I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell a few stories about my daddy. You remind me of my daddy, Dale. I love you anyway, but I really love you because you remind me of my dad too. I saw my dad love people who were talking trash about him in church. I saw him stand at the door and stick his hand out when he knew those people were dogging him. That wasn't easy to do. I saw my dad love people that didn't love back because it was his conviction that it was the Jesus thing to do. And I'll tell you this, one of the best examples I think I ever gave my children, two of them are here, they'll remember this, getting up and walking out of a movie theater because I didn't think my kids ought to be seeing what was coming on the screen, and I didn't know it was that kind of movie. It was embarrassing to me. But I went back out and said, you rated this movie this. I want my money back. And we were on a little vacation, and I marched all six of us out of the movie theater. That was one time I remember, at least, acting on convictions. Another thing about our example is, not only should we let them see us making courageous decisions on our convictions, but we should also let them see us praying and worshiping. Dad, I just have to ask you, do your kids ever hear you praying anywhere but church? I'm not saying perform for them. Do they see a prayer response to the stresses that are coming at your life? Do they see you worshiping God with your whole heart? It leaves an imprint that you can't buy with money. Working hard. I told somebody just the other day, one of the things that Ray Smith gave me was he gave me an example of a man that worked hard and long and sacrificially for the sake of this family. He doubled in size when he chose me and my brother and my mother because he had four kids of his own already. And he worked hard. That example is getting more and more rare these days. Just look at all the help signs up and down 431. The last thing is, about example is this. They need to see us loving sacrificially. I remember that when I was a teenager, my dad had really out-of-date clothes. For a long time, I thought, man, why don't he upgrade a little bit? And it was, I hate to say it, maybe sometimes I'm not a fast learner, but I eventually realized he didn't wear updated clothes because I did. He couldn't afford to wear upgraded clothes and me wear some too. And I never heard him complain. I never heard him even mention it. All I saw him do was saying, well, I look good. This is good. This is good. You know, I'm all right. This is all good. But he refused to buy himself any new clothes so that these six kids could have what he thought they needed. I remember him giving groceries to people in our church that were struggling just to have food on the table. And my mother, I could hear her saying, but honey, I'm not sure we've got enough groceries till the end of the month. And he said, we can't let them go hungry, darling. And I remember taking food to them. I remember him bringing firewood to a poor guy on the other side of town. He was a preacher and he was just dirt poor. And we brought him firewood so that he would have something to cook on. At my dad's funeral, one of my cousins, in a tribute to him, said, one thing about Uncle Ray is he could never come see you without wanting to give you something. The man never had anything, But he always found a way to give something to somebody. Help me be like that. Now, there's no perfect impressions. We just need to be real, humble, and consistent. Kids are pretty forgiving. I will not enumerate all my mistakes in front of my children and wife today, or you either, but they are many. I saw my dad make some mistakes. And I have to be honest with you, there's some of them I wish he would have recognized and apologized for. But there's some he never did. He wasn't perfect, but he was good. And Dad, you may be sitting there thinking, oh, I hate Father's Day because the preacher's going to beat up on us again today. I'm telling you. It's getting back up when you make mistakes. That's important. Just like it is in following Jesus, it's the same way in being a dad. You're going to make mistakes, but you got to keep getting up and you got to keep saying, mold me, God. Mold me, Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, change me so I can leave a better imprint on my kids. And though our example makes the greatest impression, here's the second thing. Our words are still important. Our words matter. He said, you shall repeat them diligently. He's talking about the Word of God. You shall repeat them diligently to your son and speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, you should be speaking the truth and the principles of my word to your children continually. But I want to say, everything we say should be seasoned with the truth of God's word. And there's three things that I beg you as a father to say, or as a mentor, or someone that's trying to impact another person for the kingdom of God. I beg you to say these things. And the first one is, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I made some mistakes as a dad, but I've had to say I'm sorry more than once. And that's okay. It's better to make a mistake and say I'm sorry than it is make one and never say it. And I'm telling you, Dad, you better learn how to say I'm sorry. You better learn how to say I was wrong. You say, but then that'll undermine my authority and whatever. No, I'll tell you what, you'll breed rebellion if you don't own up to the mistakes you've made. Amen. Second thing is this, that we all need to say. No. All right, let's practice. You ready? No. If you don't learn how to say no to your kids from the time they're tiny till the time they're grown and got their own kids, if you don't learn how to say no, you are cooking up a mess. Kids need someone to give boundaries. It makes them feel safer if they know that their parents care enough about them to say no. Thou shalt not run thy life off a cliff. No, thou shalt not play with a loaded gun. No, thou shalt not pick up a rattlesnake to impress thy girlfriend. No! If you can't say no, you need to get on your knees and say, God, give me some courage or something. Because it's a very important word for a father or a spiritual leader. And the last thing is, these obviously not all the things we need to say, but just two or three. It's good job. I believe in you. I know it's three things. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Let me tell you something. your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren need to hear you say, I love you and I'm proud of you and I am so glad God gave you to me. Good job. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. Those words are golden. They need to be used often. And listen, we never get too old to want to hear that. Right before I came in here, my mother's brothers and sisters and aunts and all those people, they had a string text saying, I wish I could talk to my dad today. Say these words often to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Say these words often to somebody that you're trying to imprint the truth and the love of God on their soul. Third thing is investment. People are imprinted with our investment in them. This basically is spelt T-I-M-E. It says here, it says, you shall also write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And the way I take that is as you head out to work tomorrow morning, as you go on your way to the ball field, as you head out to play a round of golf or whatever, as you go about your daily life, don't forget to invest according to the Scriptures into the people in your lives. As they need to see that the Word impacts the way you use your time and the dreams you chase. Invest according to the Word. Imprints are about consistency, not perfection. It's about investing time, attention, heart, and resources in your kids or in those that you're trying to imprint. There are once-in-a-lifetime moments. Right? There are once-in-a-lifetime moments that imprint us deeply. A lot of times, those are those moments that are tragic or they're very painful and they imprint us, maybe in a negative way. But I can tell you, the greatest, most long-lasting impression is one made by consistency. Day after day after day after day. When you don't feel like it, after day. When you're sick, after day. When you don't have enough, day after day. That's the impression that lasts the longest and becomes more than an imprint. It becomes an impact in our lives. And I want you to know you can make that impact. It's not about perfection. It's about consistency. The imprint that is deep and lasts equals impact. I want you to think about this. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect environment, and one of their kids turned out to be a murderer. Somebody might need to hear that today. Maybe you did everything in your power you knew to raise your kids in the fear of the Lord. Raise them to love Him. And you were a reasonable example. And you spoke God's Word. And you did invest time. And now you're wondering what in the world went wrong. I just want to say two things to you. Number one is they have a will of their own. And number two is it ain't over yet. Hang on. Keep praying, keep loving, keep being an example, keep speaking the Word, continue investing. But you know, whether you're a father today or a mother, I believe that God's called every one of us to imprint somebody's soul. And Pastor Seth read this scripture at the beginning of the service, and you may have thought, man, where'd that come from? But we're going to read it again. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. I believe that Jesus has called every one of us. If you're a believer, He has called you to imprint purposely, consciously, intentionally, and consistently imprint the lives of people around you. That's how He did it. He spent 3.5 years with 12 guys and changed the world. You say, but He was Jesus. The same Jesus that imprints my life can imprint somebody else's life through me. Yes or no? Everybody says yes, raise your hand. You vote yes. We're responsible for the truth we know. That's how He did it. Life on life. No program, no classroom setting will ever be as powerful as life on life. Ever. Can God change your heart when you walk down to this altar this morning? Yes, He can. And my prayer has been, yes, He will. But I'm telling you, it is His divine design to change lives by life on life, by one person sharing with another person, being an example, speaking the word, making an investment, one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-three. He desires that every one of us take responsibility for becoming a spiritual dad or a spiritual mother to somebody. Say, but I'm not that mature. I don't know that much. Here you go. Do you know this much? Jesus loves me, this I know. Then you know more than people you work with. Amen. Because you can show them Jesus loves them. You can tell them Jesus loves them. You can invest in their welfare and serve them in the name of Jesus and show them and imprint their lives. And it's time we quit making excuses. It's time, let me just get real fatherly. It's time we quit making excuses and grow up and own our responsibility, opportunity, and capacity to imprint other people with the imprint that Jesus has made on our soul. There is no excuse. Because it's a growing process, but are you growing in that direction? I want the worship team to go ahead and come back up. The Word of God and the presence of God, the truth, the love of God has to imprint our souls for us to be able to imprint it on others. Including our children. Like father, like son, this apple doesn't need to fall far from the tree. I want us to stop and do something. My wife just gave me a note. This was my intention earlier, and sometimes I just get eager to preach, and that video kind of messed me up. But I want us to make an imprint on somebody this morning with our prayers. Karen Rhodes had back surgery this week and is struggling. Richard Hale, that's Joe Cattaneo's brother, has been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. We've had several people with bad news, and you know, Deborah Cornelius, some of you know, was diagnosed with cancer. But I want to give you some good news this morning. My fellow pastor at Anchors Church in Aniana was declared cancer-free this week. Amen. I want us to pray for these people. Can we do that and then I'll finish my sermon? I'm sorry. Sometimes I forget very important things. Would you just join me in prayer? Father, in Jesus' name, we pray you would extend your hand to these people that belong to this family of believers. We pray, God, you would reach out and you would do a miracle, a sign and a wonder. God, that you would demonstrate your goodness and your grace, your power, your healing virtue in these people's bodies right now in Jesus' name. Lord, there's nothing impossible for you. And you're more than able to restore each of these people completely. And we ask you to do that. We put our faith together and we stand on your word and we rebuke and resist disease on their behalf in the authority, the same authority that raised Jesus from the dead. And we thank you for it. We thank you for what you're going to do in advance. In Jesus' name. It's time for all of us to take responsibility to learn to grow, to be imprinted by Jesus and to make an imprint like Jesus. I want to read the sentiment from that a young man wrote to his father. I used this at Father's Day last year, but it so imprinted my heart. I want to read it again. This is written by a grown son to a father. It says, when I was young, you took me the books you were reading and gave them to me so that I could read them. You took me tools you were working with and gave them to me so that I could learn to work. You took your experience and wisdom and taught me to be wise. But the greatest gift you've ever given me was a picture of you waking up and reading your coffee-stained Bible every morning, whether you felt like it or not. Because of that daily habit, the hunger and thirst for the gospel is being replicated in my heart, and I will be fully equipped to be a father, a husband, a leader, and a servant of Christ. Here's what I want to do. I want to ask every father, if you would, to get up. We're all going to pray for you, but I want you to get up and I want you to come forward as they begin to sing this song here in just a moment. You can come on if you want to. Here's my challenge to you. To invite the Holy Spirit to imprint your heart in such a way that it affects your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. To imprint, come on, y'all come on up here with me. Come on, let's just gather in. I'm challenging you guys to invite the Holy Spirit to imprint you. Because when He imprints you, you can imprint others. Amen? All you sitting up there, ladies, amen? What does that look like? What does it look like for the Holy Spirit to imprint your soul with truth and love? It means to engage Scripture daily. If we didn't learn anything from the passage in Deuteronomy, we should learn this. We need to saturate our minds, the way we think, our daily routines. We need to saturate with the truth of God. You say, I've tried. It's hard. I don't have a good plan. Hey, look up YouVersion. It's an app on your phone. It's free. And it'll give you thousands of devotions you can follow day by day. It'll give you a reading plan, all kinds of stuff. Listen, it's time we take this thing and we say, the Word of God is going to be what imprints my heart more than Fox News, more than the newspaper, more than people's attitudes. That's going to imprint my heart. And then appeal to Scripture in your decisions and reactions. And ask God for spiritual children. I don't mean ask God to make your children spiritual. You should do that. But I'm talking about whether it's these guys or you. I'm asking all of you to pray this same prayer with us. I just want to pray a special prayer for dads today. But I want every one of you, would you stand? You want God to imprint your soul in a way that will imprint other people. Would you just stand with me? Guys, would y'all just raise your hands up to heaven as a sign of surrender and a sign of desire and reaching for what God has for you? You can pray this with me. I'm not asking you to repeat it. I'm just asking you to pray in your own way. But let's invite the Holy Spirit to imprint our soul today. Holy Spirit, oh God, tattoo my heart, oh God. Lord, engrave in my soul the truths of your word and the reality of your love and the greatness of your goodness today, oh God. Lord, imprint me deeply. God, dig down in my soul and change the way I think and the way I react and the way I respond and what I desire. Oh God, may I be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ in ever-increasing measure as I live my days on this earth. Lord, imprint me in a way that someone else will have to say, why is he like that? And the resounding answer and the only answer will be because Jesus has changed his life. May that be the testimony of every one of these fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers. Oh God, we pray, imprint us. Imprint me, Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for all of us today, the ladies and those that are not yet fathers. I pray, oh God, the same thing for all of us. May the lasting impressions on our souls not be this world, but your truth and your presence and your love, the amazing grace and goodness and mercy of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of your word. Oh God, may people be compelled to ask, why are you like you are? Because we exhibit Jesus. Now, all of you standing behind these dads, I want you to stretch your hands toward them right now. We're going to pray. And guys, I just encourage you to pray for the person on your right and left. I'm not asking you to hold their hands. But would you just in your heart pray for the people on your right and left, men? Pray with me. Father, we pray for godly wisdom for these men. We pray for moral courage today. We pray for clarity about the truth. We pray, God, for guidance for difficult decisions. We pray, God, for a baptism of fire in the Holy Ghost, Lord. We pray for the fullness of Jesus to be manifested in their lives. We pray, oh God, that you would break their heart with the things that break your heart, and that, God, you would help them grow in their knowledge of you. And Lord, that you would give them a hunger for your word, and that as they rise up and as they lie down, as they come, as they go, that they would learn to be men of the word, that they would learn to be men of example. God, that they would learn to speak your word, pray your word, worship with your word, and God, that they would invest in other people's spiritual welfare in addition to their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. There's a fatherless generation coming up around us, Lord. There's a fatherless generation coming up around us, and they need an example of godly manhood, as Eddie referred to earlier. We ask you, help us, these men of this church, be those men. those men that don't go with the flow, those men that go against the flow, if that's what's required, those men who have courage of conviction, those men who love sacrificially even beyond their own family, those men who work hard, those men who pray and worship unashamedly and freely. I pray you would spark faith in these men today. Spark faith. Particularly those who have wayward children or grandchildren. I pray, God, you would spark faith and hope in their heart today. And Lord, that they would be able to lay their mistakes at the foot of the cross today. That, Lord, those mistakes that haunt them, God, you would assure them today that you have atoned for that and that it's time to make a new impression and that you will help them do that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Men, if that's a desire for your own life, would you just say amen? Amen. Amen.